From the number one sports site in the world.
Yahoo!
This is Yahoo Sports Radio.
YahooSportsRadio.com.
It's the weekend at Yahoo Sports Radio at YahooSportsRadio.com. And you know us sports fans? Yeah, we like other things other than sports. Like cars and automotive stuff. Welcome to Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Herzing, now on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Let's put the key in the ignition, shall we? And fire up the engines.
From the Quicken Loans studios of Yahoo Sports Radio, here's your host, Matt Perrault.
Good Saturday morning. How are you? Welcome into Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Herzing. I'm Matt Perrault. We've got a lot of stuff to get to you. A little truck conversation we're going to get into. Mike and I both have cars that we're going to review today. And as always, your questions for Mr. Mike Herzing. Speaking of the devil, Mike, how are you, my friend?
I am doing great, big guy. It's early morning, but I'm ready to rock and roll.
Well, let's get to the Super Bowl for last week, because it's a big deal, not just for football fans. It's a big deal for the automotive sector. It's a chance to get a captive audience and really have a chance to market and create some buzz for a new product or two. Our friends at Jeep were heavily involved in the broadcast on CBS. We saw some ads, but anything that jumped out at you in terms of what we saw from an automotive advertising perspective for Super Bowl 50?
Well, you know, it's funny. There's always two style ads. You know, the funny ads, and then there's the serious ads. And, you know, I remember a couple of years ago when Chrysler did the deals with Clint Eastwood, Made in Detroit. That was very cool. Then they mm-hmm. had all the patriotic ads. The Hyundai ads were great. Boy, Hyundai spent a lot of money.
Yes, they did.
And, boy, I tell you what, they spent a chunk of change. Honda did some stuff with Acura, which, I don't know. I talked to a lot of people, and they were like, yeah, well, it didn't. I don't know if it made that big of an impression. The Toyota thing was cute. Buick was pretty cool. And the Kia one, the walk-in closet, right. Which was, you know, it's kind of cool.
I'll tell you the one thing that kind of, yeah. I don't want to say surprised me, yeah. But I understand what Audi was trying to do with the R8.
Yeah.
But you're advertising a vehicle that for 95% of the people watching will never be able to afford it.
Oh.
And it is one of those weird things where I feel like Audi, that's not what I see the Audi brand as.
Right. Right.
And I was surprised to see that Audi decided that the R8 was going to be where they placed their ad budget by. Because I don't think of the Audi brand as a sports car.
Right.
Two, it's an extraordinarily, it's almost a concept car. It's so expensive.
Yeah, it's such a halo car.
Yeah, and, right. it looks as rare as like a Lamborghini does driving down the street. I mean, you can't miss
sure.
the thing.
You never see R8s.
Yeah, and to me, I look at Audi as, you know, a brand that has a sport automotive luxury sedan feel.
Right.
And I was surprised
and
that
they're trying to compete with a Viper or a Ferrari.
Why?
And when you said 99%, how about a half of 1%?
Okay,
I mean,
sure.
It's a $145,000 car, you know.
Yeah.
Okay. The Honda ad, okay, that was kind of cool. And the Ridgeline has a small market.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it has some sort of a market. The Jeep ads were very patriotic, and that's something I expected Jeep to do something like that because it's their 75th anniversary.
Right.
And they're on such a roll. And and then they had, you know, the Jeep 4x4 Forever, and it was pretty awesome. I liked it. You know, I'm of course I'm a Jeep fanatic, but still, I just thought it was pretty cool, and I liked a lot of that stuff.
Yeah,
and the ads were pretty cool. Were any of them just like awe inspiring, like they've had in the past?
No, because
they didn't blow me away.
The entire game, the entire broadcast game, everything about Super Bowl 50 was,
Yeah,
everything was just mediocre.
I think we built it up in our heads. It was kind of
maybe
something.
No,
you know,
but then,
I don't know.
You know, last year was amazing, and we had great ads last year,
sure,
and a great finish, and
both
quarterbacks stunk so bad.
It sucked
all the good energy out of that entire broadcast. And look, I did like. I mean, to me, it's all about did I remember your ad?
No,
and I remembered Buick's ad. I mean,
right.
Emily Ratajkowski is a gorgeous female, gorgeous model. But I love the Odell Beckham. She caught it. I mean, it was totally CGI'd. But that was a memorable ad for me. And I think that that's important if you're looking at your recall
right.
of what you watched.
But defensive games are kind of like, you know, a throwback from the 60s. You know?
That wasn't even defense. That was just poor play.
Yeah,
sloppy.
You're right.
It was just sloppy everywhere.
All right.
Frustrating
to
watch.
We're beating a dead horse here.
It was an interesting.
I shouldn't have said that to a sportscaster.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Before we get into our reviews, Mike, and I have a car and you have a car, which is coming up in the next segment. Let me ask you a question. Would you ever get on a scooter that went 107 miles an hour?
Yeah, I saw that. Mobility scooter. Did you see the picture of that? That's like a scooter like Grandpa drives, you know. And I don't know that I would. I've done some crazy stuff in the world, you know. I've done some mini bikes going 80 and this kind of stuff. But a mobility scooter. These guys in England built a mobility scooter. We're talking, folks, the little electric scooter with four little wheels, like a wheelchair with wheels.
And it's supposed to go 8 miles an hour.
8 miles an hour, and they
with 107
go-kart wheels on it. They got a Guinness Book of World Record at 107 miles an hour.
That is absolutely insane.
I know. And it has to look like a mobility scooter, so it has to sit up. It has to be like a wheelchair. The only difference is it had go-kart wheels and a Suzuki motorcycle engine with 80 horsepower. Is that cool?
I mean, how do you hold on?
I don't know.
I mean, how do you even keep your hands on this?
They had a helmet and leathers on.
Because you're so upright that the wind, like, there's no aerodynamic at all to go 107 miles an hour.
That's why they had to have so much horsepower. The old record was 71. Who in hell would go 71? But it had wheelie bars and everything else on it. I think it would be hell of a deal on a drag race course. You know,
well, how about just from like a standpoint of like making a bet or like rolling up next to somebody?
I know.
And being like, hey, how do I, you know, you want to race? And someone's like, okay, you're on a scooter.
I know.
And then you drop 107 on them.
But you know what's weird is? Who thinks that stuff up? Okay. How many bored people think that stuff up? And when I looked at this, they also had a record of a guy that took a log that's in a piece of wood, a chopped down tree, hollowed it out, put electric wheels on it, and I think it went like 90 or 100. And I'm like, a wooden car. Okay.
How fast, when you were riding your motorcycles back in the day, Mike, what's the fastest speed you got your bike up to?
That was the 70s. I think I went 190. But I was racing, but that was a different story. But I was talking the 70s, and that was, you know, that was at Daytona. But, that, you know, that was.
Yeah, so you're at a super speedway, and you can open it up.
Yeah.
How fast do they go now? 190 is like.
No, they still. I think they're limited now, but I think they probably go a little over 200 now.
You're talking
now,
like 190 is like slow.
A street bike goes 200. You can buy them off, you know, go to your Suzuki dealer and buy them, they go 200. And that's just because they're limited. They would normally go over that. It's crazy.
Well, take the governor off and get going.
Yes. Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah. And you can buy them. You know, these poor kids buy these things and practically kill themselves. So
yeah,
I don't know.
It's Les Duckwills and Mike Herzing here, Matt Perrott with you on Yahoo Sports Radio on a Saturday morning. You know what's fun? I think, you know, we're talking about speed. I was interested because I'm now seeing more car advertisements, including the top speed for the cars. That used to be sort of a no-no. Why is that coming back?
I don't know. Everybody wants to know it, but you know why? Some people would say, "Why sell a 200-mile-an-hour car? Because where can you do it at?" A lot of people go to track days now. I mean, a lot of people will buy a Cadillac CTS-V. My brother-in-law bought a Cadillac CTS-V, and he got a track day with it, with one of the, I think it was Bob Bondurant, and it was at one of the Grand Sport Speedway outside of Houston, and they spent the day teaching him how to drive it aggressively. He's
how
a great
fast?
Guy. And I think he got up to like about 160, 170, but it was on a road race course. And he had a helmet and a driving suit, and they taught him how to drive it aggressively. And he had the time of his life. Is he ever going to drive it that fast? No. But there are places. Hey, there's out places out there where you are.
Oh,
and
yeah.
There's no speed limit.
One just opened up called Speed Vegas that is actually brand new, but you can rent for you can pay by the lap.
Yeah,
what you can drive a Ferrari, you can drive a Lamborghini, you can alternate with a Porsche or your own car, and you pay basically like $45 a lap.
It's a deal. I know. Why not? You know, it's like you don't get a chance to be Odell Beckham. You don't get a chance to do that kind of stuff, but you can drive.
But that's expensive. $40 a lap. I mean, a lap takes you like 35 seconds.
Right. But there's places you can go out there and spend the day and spend. You can go out there and spend $300.
Yep.
And get a track day.
Yeah, the driving schools are pretty interesting because you do have an opportunity, and the Richard Petty driving schools are all over the country at different NASCAR tracks, and it's really become a very unique, in that, like you mentioned, you can't go and play football with the NFL, but you can go and get on a NASCAR track and actually roll around.
And you become a better driver even at 55. I mean, you become a better driver, period. That's
really
the best part about it. Oh, yeah. My son took a driving school, and we took a winter driving school through Bridgestone, and he became a much better driver.
Is it because when you go that fast, you realize how quickly you have to react?
We weren't even going all that fast. We learned how to drive 70 miles an hour on ice, and it was great.
Ice
and snow, and it was great. And I never learned how to drive. I'm in Texas. I don't know how to drive on ice and snow, but I do now. It's great.
Yeah, I grew up with it. So pump the brakes, pump the brakes. Tap, 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 tap. Yep. None of that slamming stuff that people do.
It's great.
My gosh, lock the brakes up and go flying around. That's hyper, hyper, hyper dangerous. All right, we're doing our car reviews next. Stick around. It's Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Herzing here on Yahoo Sports Radio.
You're listening to Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Herzing on Yahoo Sports Radio and YahooSportsRadio.com.
Back to the Quick and Round Studios.
And back to your host with Mike Herzing. Here is Matt Perrault.
Let's talk about some cars that we're driving around. Mike, you go first. We'll let you tell the world you were driving a really nice car. I drove a nice car, too, but not nearly as nice as what you drove this week.
Well, I don't know. It was a nice car. I drove the 2016 Buick Enclave. Now, this is a full-size SUV, CUV, whatever way you want to call it. It's a big vehicle, okay? Gosh, it's just... You know, it's offered in three trim levels, but they're all nice. It's Buick. This is the cousin of the Chevy Traverse or the Buick Acadia.
Okay.
I mean, it's got all the room in the world, but it's just, I don't know, V6, 3.6 liter, 6-speed automatic transmission. It's got tons of room. It's got 24 miles per gallon on the highway, 17 city. But I got better than 24 and has plenty of power, you know, 288 horsepower. It's just so comfortable. It's so quiet, but it's not tomb quiet. You know, they've gone and they've tuned it to where you can speak. It's got 19-inch wheels. This is the Tuscan edition, so it is gorgeous. This was a kind of like a pearl white, cream white. It's just real pretty, but the interior was a saddle color with dark, and it's got a little kind of a wood grain trim on it, and it's got the 20-inch wheels. And the bronze pockets and everything. It had this little ambient lighting. It's got the headlights that articulate when you turn turn the wheels. You know, the competitors are like the Infiniti JX, the Acura MDX, the Lexus RX350. But, wow, it's really comfortable. It's got all the airbags and everything in the world. It's tons of seating. And I just can't say anything enough. It's a full-size, big CUV, and every room you want for the car. It's got 6-year, 70,000-mile warranties. If you're looking for a full-size SUV, I think this is about the same size interior as a Tahoe, okay?
Okay.
Plenty rows of seats. It's got everything you would ever want. If you're looking for a full-size SUV and you're looking for something a little bit nicer than the Traverse, maybe you're looking at the Traverse or the Acadia, you're looking at maybe an RX350, you're looking at something that's just nice, but if you want a GM-style vehicle, this is it. 5-star, all kinds of safety ratings, unbelievably nice interior, lots of power, good handling, quiet on the highway, super comfortable, all kinds of safety goodies. Got all the blind spot monitors. It's got all the buzzes your seat when you change lanes and you don't want to. It's got all of the safety things. Starts off in the 50,000 range, but I tell you what. It's you can trim these things out and do everything you want with them. Nice car. This one basically starts at $49,000, and you can load it up, do all you want. It's a nice car. I would look at the Buick Enclave. I happen to always like it. Now, one I had was actually all-wheel drive.
Oh, nice.
I couldn't even spin the tires on, although it had plenty of power. It's got forward collision alert. It's got rear cross traffic. I started to back out. And, you know, it beeped me that somebody was walking around behind me.
Yep.
You know, it's really great at Walmart. It's got OnStar, one of my favorite deals. It has a great nav system, but it's always easier for me to just call the OnStar operator and say, hey, give me directions here. And she sends them to the system, and it just all of a sudden starts telling you where to go. I'm so used to women telling me where to go. Hey, you know, they're ordering me around. Might as well, you know. It's got the 8-way power seats. It's just the recline. It's got the heated seats. It's got the remote start.
Yep.
Only thing it didn't have, and I wondered why it didn't, have Bluetooth key. You still have to put the key in the ignition and start it. I hate to be a whiner, but
yeah.
I figured for $50,000 plus, it should.
Yeah, interesting.
It may be something that they didn't order it.
Right.
But,
so
wow, what a
it.
Nice car. It's just like, you know, my wife is going, wow, this is a really, really nice car. And I was like, yeah, it really is.
All right, well... For me this week,
Anybody looking for that needs to look at the Enclave. There you go. How about you, big guy? You're driving the little Mazda, one of my favorite vehicles.
So I drove a 2016 Mazda 3 Grand Touring Edition four-door hatchback. So, look, you can get this car for $18,000, right? But this is a car that, when I had it, it was just over $30,000. Basically, it had everything you'd ever want.
Well, they're one of those make it your way, you know, anything you want.
They kind of load it. It's a six-speed shiftable automatic transmission. This is a car. It gets phenomenal, great gas mileage. 37 miles on the highway, 27 miles in city, and I think it's even better than that. It is a little bit tight, okay? It's not the roomiest of vehicles, but if you're someone like my wife who loves hatchbacks, this is a really nice car to get around in terms of, like, it's not the biggest of beds, but you can drop the seats down in the back and give you a lot of more space if you need it. Leather interior is really nice. The safety features in this car, it's got everything you'd want. The cross traffic that like you mentioned previously, it's got that. It's got a rear backup camera that's great. It's got lane assistance. It's got blind spot detection.
See, but you don't usually get that in the lower level cars. Yeah,
right.
In Mazda, you do.
Right. In Mazda, you do. And also, you get a really quick engine. And when you drop this thing in a sport mode, it goes. Yeah. I mean, you know me, I'm about performance. I want to see a car that performs. I hate sluggish engines, and even at 184 horsepower, this car in sport mode cooks. I was a really nice fan of it. I had it in the Soul Red Metallic, which is a really nice color. It's sort of a different type of red, but it looks it's sparkly. I mean, it's a car that's going to get attention.
It kind of looks like candy apple red, I think.
Yeah, it's a good, exactly. It's great. You know, it's got everything that you'd want from a luxury standpoint. It's got a Bose stereo system. It's got bucket seats. It's got it's got navigation for you. It has, Bluetooth, wireless start. It's got everything that you would look at from a luxury car, yet you get it in a Mazda 3. So the only thing that kind of bugged me a little bit on it, and it's not that big of a deal, but when you ran your stuff through your phone via Bluetooth, the audio was a lot quieter than when you hardwired it into the car.
Yeah.
So they went a little cheap on the Bluetooth, which I wasn't really a huge fan of, but I understand why they did it because, my gosh, they're giving you so many other bells and whistles that I don't think they went on the highest of ends when it comes to a Bluetooth. But if you're like me, you don't mind hardwiring, because I don't mind hardwiring into a USB port for a vehicle. You get the power, you know, it charges your phone as well as letting you do everything, whether it be, you know, phone navigation or streaming music or whatever you need your phone for. It's pretty, it does exactly what you need it to do. One touch power windows are really nice. The nav computer screen, the screen is a little awkward because it has like this tachometer in front of you that pops up, and it's kind of a I don't know how really you would describe what it does, but it enables you to see how fast you're going without having to look down. And that combined with the screen that does not come up and down, the dash does look a little odd.
It's a two-level dash?
Yeah, well, it's just sort of like stuck on. It looks like they had to create it, and they weren't really anticipating having to put a screen on the Mazda 3.
Right.
So it kind of just kind of sticks out a little bit like a sore thumb, but it does, the screen does everything you'd want it to do. It is interesting if you buy it for your son or daughter, if you're going to buy this vehicle for someone else, for a kid, you can't do anything when the car is moving. Like, you can't everything shuts off. Like, you
that's
can't.
That's awesome.
The touchscreen does not move. When the car is in motion, there is nothing to distract you.
That's
you can't
good.
Change anything. So that was a unique feature. But yeah, so a fully loaded Mazda 3 Grand Touring Hatchback. This, as I said, was a $30,000 vehicle, but you can get it much cheaper than that. But if you're in the category, looking for something that's quick, looking for something that's got enough room for you, I wouldn't say it's not huge, but it can definitely be customizable, and you can get everything you want at it.
Fun to drive.
Yeah, really fun to drive. Again, in the sport mode, that thing is that's a lot of fun. All right, so we got an interview coming up next. Then we're going to get into questions from you guys. We will continue as Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Kersing back next year on Yahoo Sports Radio.
You're listening to Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Kersing on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
Back to the Quick and Round Studios.
And back to your host with Mike Kersing. Here is Matt Perrault.
It's Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Herzing here on Yahoo Sports Radio. Matt Perrault with you, and we head out to the Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line where we get to talk to someone, Mike, who you've known for a while. I'll let you do the honors to welcome in our next guest.
Yes, I've got Linda Water Nelson, longtime friend of mine. Linda Water Nelson's a sports editor for Texas Fish and Game magazine, and she's a frequent contributor to Gaff magazine, not Glaff, but Gaff magazine and U.S. Boat magazine. You know, I'm a member of U.S. Boat, Linda.
Oh.
You know, yeah. You there?
It's the only place to be when you own one.
That's right. That's right. She's also been an automotive writer for a lot of years. I'm not going to say more than 25, you know, because that's, you know, that sounds a lot.
It'll be our secret.
The key, our secret. But tell you what, you've been around cars a long time.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So tell us, you know, we've got a lot of stuff. You know, we're talking about the outdoors and some of the options available to the outdoorsman, okay, or the outdoors woman in your case. So what do you guys write about?
Well, everything that you do as an outdoor enthusiast, whether it's hunting or fishing or conservation stuff, or bird watching, or even, yes, hiking and camping, or biking, requires you to get your gear where you're going. And very often that takes towing or hauling. And so we write about and talk about the kinds of things that get you to your adventure successfully and then get you home afterward, which is equally important.
Linda, in terms of the truck market right now and the focus, Mike and I spend a lot of time talking about the truck brands and the focus that they're placing on the outdoorsman right now. How much fun are you guys having? How exciting is it to be a journalist in this sector when so much emphasis is being placed upon the outdoorsman?
Well, the truck segment was stagnant for a long, long time. I mean, it's hard to believe that there have only been crew cab trucks since about 12 or 13 years ago. So getting a crowd to anything in a single vehicle was very tough, you know, even a decade ago. So today, the vehicles are designed to get a group where they're going, to get the group's gear where they're going. And there's also a tremendous number of new innovations as far as towing and, towing and getting the people there safely back. And, you know, this is one of the areas where families are tremendously involved. Today, getting out with a family in a single vehicle, whether it's a truck or an SUV, is a wonderful, wonderful way to bridge some of the gaps that come with all the technologies. I mean, you can actually unplug, have no screens except the ones in the car, and be able to do with stuff your kids want to still do.
Well, you know, I remember when the first vehicle that you could do that kind of stuff with was a Chevy Suburban. You know, you could load the world on the back of a Suburban, and all the Boy Scouts and all those kind of people would drag the big trailers and things like that, or the big boats and campers, and all put them on the behind your Suburban. Because if you had a truck, what would you do? Throw a camper on the back of your truck. And that's what a Suburban was, you know.
Yeah. It was, you know, there have been so many strides made. You know, the first vehicles like that, as you said, are vehicles like the Suburban, which even today is still a really appropriate one for this kind of adventure because you don't always need a truck when you're doing these things. If there's enough gear space or you have the capability of towing with an SUV. And today the tow loads are much lighter. Aluminum trailers and all those things have made the capability of towing a boat or a small RV or even a box trailer with gear inside of it are so much easier than they used to be, and there are so many more vehicles available.
You know, there are, but look at the Jeep. I remember when the Jeep was this tiny little thing, and then, you know, you could get to, you know, up on the mountain, get to your camp area, kind of where you couldn't get otherwise. You couldn't get a Suburban there, but now even Jeeps have gotten bigger.
After the Consumer Electronics Show a couple of years ago, I rented a Jeep from a company out in Vegas, and we did a January drive through the north rim of the Grand Canyon, Zion National Park, and and we were able to get places. Now, the parks were closed. We made an arrangement with the Park Service. The parks were closed. But we felt very safe in that vehicle in terms of getting where we needed to be and getting home. We had with us some gear that was designed for solar charging and made sure everything was charged up because you had no cell phone coverage out there. Mm. Anything you were able to do, you had to be able to do between the vehicle and the gear you carry.
Interesting. So, Linda, let me ask you about kind of combining what you've done with U.S. Boat and writing about the Outdoorsman in the truck series. It seems like all those segments kind of overlap. Are you talking to a very similar person, someone who has, you know, the outdoor bug but also has a truck but also is interested in boating? Is it a very similar person?
There's a range. I mean, it's very broad. Where once the Ballywicka, the guy who owned a truck strictly, he was out in the woods or he was over the water. Today, you find all kinds of people owning trucks. One of the outdoor segments that you don't even think about generally is equestrian. These people have got to get their horses and equipment to where they go to either show or to do trail rides or things like that. So that's another outdoor activity that that trucks and SUVs really do cross over into, and we never think of it.
Well, I know that I have my sons do a lot of SUVs and or ATVs and things like that and UTVs, and these things probably weigh 1,000, 1,500 pounds apiece. And so when you've got two of them, all of a sudden you've got a 25 or 30-foot trailer that's a gooseneck, and all of a sudden you've got to have a dually, and all of a sudden you've got to have a four-wheel drive dually, or you've got to have a big thing to call them, and they get stuck in the mud in about a heartbeat. And so you have to have four-wheel drive. And it's like, oh, wait a minute. You've got to have this giant vehicle, and otherwise you're stuck.
Well,
and it's crazy.
Well, generally I find that guys tend to overbuy on their trucks. You know, one of my favorite things to do when I'm talking to a group or at a conference or something is when a guy asks me what he needs in terms of tow capability, I'll say, well, what do you pull? And 9 times out of 10, he'll tell me he pulls 10,000 pounds. It would take a lot for these guys to pull 10,000 pounds. Most of the guys who end up getting a dually don't really need a dually. In the case of a boat, if you need a 3,500 dually to tow your boat, you probably should have it at the marina.
Yeah, you're right.
Because the cost of the fuel for that 3,500 would be offset by the cost of a marina berth.
You know, you're right, unless you have to take it, like, you know, like these UTVs, I mean, they're end up pulling a 25 or 30-foot trailer, and they probably end up having, you know, 25,000 pounds.
I mean, the trailering skills that you can get pulling, 7 to 10,000 pounds, even 5,000 pounds, don't require a big vehicle. I mean, it's one of the reasons why we're seeing some growth in the mid-size market as well, because, I mean, the newer things like the Colorado and the Canyon, they can pull in a gasoline version 7,000 pounds. That's as much as most people need to tow ever.
You know, you're right. Small campers are only about 5,000 now.
Right. And I mean, the materials that are being, you know, we talk about lightweighting in the truck industry and in the auto industry, and the use of materials in the resins and in the aluminum to limit the weight of the vehicle, to make it much lighter and much more fuel efficient. At the same time, the people in the outdoor market who make trailers, who make RVs, who make all of the things that are carried on those trailers are doing the same thing.
Hmm.
They're using more materials that will lightweight those vehicles and make the tow experience better. So the combination is making it much more simple and much more enjoyable to pull a trailer.
She is Linda Water Nelson. She's the sport vehicle editor for Texas Fish and Game magazine. Linda, thank you for the time tonight. Really appreciate it. Some more this morning.
Hey, anytime. Hope your people get outside more.
Absolutely. That's Linda Water Nelson on the Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line. We're back with your questions next here on Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Herzing on Yahoo Sports Radio.
You're listening to Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Herzing on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
Back to the Quick and Round Studios.
And back to your host with Mike Herzing. Here is Matt Peralt.
It's Let's Talk Quiz with Mike Herzing, Matt Perrell with you here on a Saturday morning. We just talked to Linda Water Nelson. That was a lot of fun. Remember this show on podcastarena.com. Look for Mike Herzing. Look for Let's Talk Quiz with Mike Herzing. You missed any part of the program. And Mike, we end the show today talking, well, some questions here. And I don't know who Uncle Dipstick is, but that's an interesting name for somebody who emailed in. Uncle Dipstick wants to know about a clogged up Explorer. He writes, his name is Donald, actually, but he says, I have a 2006 Explorer that keeps clogging fuel filters. I know when they are going bad because it won't run over 30 miles an hour until I replace it. I have to replace it, replace three in the last 2 months. Help.
Well, what he did is got a load of contaminated fuel. He's just got crud in the fuel system. And what he's going to have to do is bite the bullet and have the dash tank removed and clean it out, have it boiled out. And clean it out and replace the fuel filters and be fine. Because what he's doing is just picking up trash off the bottom of the tank and plugging up the fuel filters. Because here's the deal. If you keep doing that, you're going to ruin the fuel pump. You can't keep plugging up fuel filters without damaging the fuel pump at some point. Okay? Because mm-hmm. that's going to, you're stuffing that thing. That fuel pump pushes about, 50 pounds of pressure. And if you keep doing that, you're just going to damage it. So that fuel pump is really expensive. Okay.
Is it really?
So just pull the tank or have somebody pull the tank and replace. I remember the days when the fuel pumps were like $20. Okay.
Wow.
I remember having a fuel pump done. One of my neighbors had one done on a Suburban and it was like $1,000 to change it, And so you don't want to do that. Some of these fuel pumps are like $600-$700 for just the part.
Oh.
And so because they're down in the tank and they push. And because fuel injection requires such high pressures that it's just expensive. So do not damage your fuel pump. That's why I tell people, please don't run your tank low on fuel. Because that's how those little fuel pumps that are down in the fuel, that's how they stay cool. That's what cools them is the gasoline.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
That's what So when you get them down and somebody, your significant other drives it down to like it's, like it's got 20 miles till empty,
right.
Which is only about, a half a gallon.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, or maybe a gallon of fuel, and it's got like an inch of fuel in the bottom of the tank. Well, that's the fuel tank's exposed, and it's hot. And that's going to eventually, doing that over time and time again, it gets so darn hot, it burns the fuel pump up quicker than it needs to.
Interesting. My wife that.
I had another friend of mine who was whining that his BMW, that happened to his fuel pump, and they, it was right out of warranty, and it was like, $1,600 or some kind of ridiculous.
Ouch.
I was like, well, I keep telling you, don't run it out of fuel.
Don't do that.
And, most people say keep it down. When it gets down to like an eighth of a tank, a little bit less than a quarter of a tank, start looking for your fuel, gas station, and put some in it, If you do it occasionally, okay.
Right.
But don't do it all the time.
All right, Mike, we got about 3 minutes left. Bob wants to know, difference between a marine dark cycle battery and a regular car battery. Can I use my boat battery in a car or the other way around?
Well, he's mistaken. It's deep cycle battery. And some batteries are made, the way the plates are made, they're made to discharge completely. Run them all the way dead like for your things on your boat, okay?
Okay.
And like your trolling motor or things like that, it's made to run them all the way dead. Okay, and then there are other styles of batteries that are made for a lot of power to start your car. Okay, but if you run your car battery dead, totally dead, it may not recover. Okay,
right.
Now a deep cycle battery is made the way they're designed. You can run them all the way dead and charge them back up over and over again, and they'll be fine. They're okay with that. All right, but a regular car battery that's designed for a lot of power, you run them dead. They may not recover. You're not supposed to run them totally dead. It's the design of the battery. I can get into how they're designed, but we don't have that much time. The drill is, you can probably change them. You could probably switch them over for a day or two until you get one. But be honest with you, the deep cycle batteries don't have the starting capacity, the coil cranking amps that you really need to start a car day in and day out. If it's an old Ford pickup, like my 69 Ford pickup, I can put my boat battery in it, start it up, and it'd be okay for, a month or so. But on a new car and everything, boat batteries really don't start it very well.
All right, Lewis.
Get you by.
Right. Lewis is asking, why do most diesel trucks have two batteries and my car has one? If they get such great fuel economy, why is their gas tank so big?
It's a great question. They have two batteries because of the size of the starter motor, because of the compression of the engines. You have to have a big starter, and they have to take a lot of cranking amps to crank the engines over, okay, because they're big engines. That's the way it is. Okay, and why do they have a big gas tank? Because most of the time you don't find diesel all that often. You may go to a gas station, you may see 10 gas stations, and only two of them handle diesel, okay? So a lot of times they design them so you can go long distances so you can find a diesel station. I remember the days that you could, I mean, I had to know where the diesel stations were. But a lot of stations don't have them.
Hmm. Okay, so. And finally, Doreen writes, I have a 2009 Honda Fit that shakes at high speeds, over 50. I have had tires that balanced several times, and they say each time that it was out of balance. What could keep making these happen where I have to balance it all the time?
Probably there's water in the moisture in the tire. Somebody filled up the tire with the air, and they didn't have the. There's probably water in their tanks or something, and when they filled it up with air, it had moisture in it. So that would be that changes the balance all the time, most likely. Or somebody added some kind of, you know, one of those flat tire kind of things or whatever. But most of the time, it's moisture in the tire.
Moisture
makes me crazy.
Like water, or just like
moisture. Water. Yeah.
So this is a more humid type environment.
No, somebody put air in the tire. And it had moisture in the air compressor. You know, happens all the time.
How much moisture did it take to unbalance a tire? A lot, I'm assuming,
an ounce,
right?
An ounce.
That's it?
Yeah.
An ounce?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, my.
A little Fit? Sure. Happens all the time.
Oh, my. All right. All right, that's going to do it for Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Herzing here on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Remember, it's been great.
If you missed any part of the program, podcastarena.com. Log on to podcastarena.com or email mike@letstalkwheels.com. Until next week, Mike, we'll have a great week, and we'll talk to you next week.
You too, big guy.
That's Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Herzing here on Yahoo Sports Radio.